Blog Talk Radio.
I wish there was a video game to teach your ancestor name. I wish there was a phone number like 1-800-SAVE-YOUR-BROTHER. I'm thankful for the radio station, not afraid to put the truth in rotation. But there is certain information that you can only get in conversation with young people.
Good morning and welcome to First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. You know, I kind of cut the music short because I'm so excited about the show today. As you know, we have my co-host, Lady Kathy Howard, which I'm going to click you in. Be ready. And also we have our own Dr. Phil. Dr. Judith is going to be on with us today. But I'm going to start with my co-host. Good morning, co-host, my friend, my sister by another mother. My doctor, Lady Kathy Howard. Boy, you got too many names now, girl. I got to give you all these alphabets behind your name. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm in Denver, the crisp
air. Oh, great.
But, yeah. So, and I had to kind of, you know, to change my timing because everything was set for 10 o'clock and they're an hour ahead. But I'm still right on time. But this is First Lady Blog Talk Radio. You know, we've been talking about straightening that tiara, my tiara, straightening my tiara.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about how to, you know, to when times are hard and then the word but, which cuts it off and we can proceed from there. And then I remember that commercial that they said, never let them see you sweat. And then we also had where, you know, they said, there's a time, my past is not who I am. You know, that's in the past. And it reminds me of Lion King, you know, when he smacked Mufasa upside the head and he said, it's in the past. And also talking about, again, I rise and remembering that, you know, I am, who is our Father in heaven, said that we're amazing. So we are. And a lot of times people try to tilt your little, and situations, tilt your tiara and help you think that you're not. And then you and I were talking about something. When this show originally started, I tell you, we were on a different page. So there are going to be some changes that are taking place, and we're going to really plan them out really well. But when we started, there was a lot of anger from my divorce and just not being heard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and how we have shifted that thing, man. My tiara from all of that. Now, everybody, just kind of take your hand and shift that tiara and get it straight on your head. I'm going to go ahead and pull in our co-host so we can go ahead and get started because we're going to have a good time. Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning, Miss Hilton, if you may. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I am doing great, Susie. How are you? And hi, Kathy. So good to talk to both of you today.
Well,
good morning.
Wonderful. How about
you? Well.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we're going to go ahead and just jump in because, again, I got a couple of chats going on here, just so everybody knows. So in between, Lady Kathy, you might have to talk while I'm chatting, doing the typing type of thing. But I have a lot of questions today, and that's one of the reasons that we've been doing this. We've talked, as I said, we've been through the hard part. We were mad women there for a little while. We're not even mad, just what would be the word? We were disappointed. Now we're on.
We were stormed.
Yeah. No, yeah. But now we got our bearings. Exactly. Now we have our bearings, and we realize that the I am said that I am. So no one can take that from me. Neither can they cause me to be distracted from who I am. And thank goodness for our own Dr. Phil. So, because she does the clinical side of it as well as we have the spiritual side. So let's get into that, you know, just the transformations and some of the questions that have been posed to me. One of them being is once you have come through the storm, how do you clear your memory? How do you clear? And Lady Kathy does a lot of that. She's taught me a lot through through the health issue, you know, the healthy part of it, cleaning your body, cleaning your blood with niacin and all these different things. But when you have actually experienced going through things and you're on the other side of it, and we're going to pose this to you, our own Dr. Phil here. How is it that you don't look back? I mean, we don't want to be like Lot's wife and turn into a pillar of salt. But how do you keep yourself going forward and keep that tiara straight on your head? Can you speak to that, please?
Yes. I realize that a lot of people, especially some of the folks I speak to as clients, when they're going through a lot of rough times, stormy times in their lives, they usually go back and talk about the things that have happened that are bad in their lives instead of focusing on the things that are now going well. And I find that for myself, sometimes I always tell them, you know, you don't want to put your hand back down in that garbage bag because you're going to come back up with all kinds of stuff in your hand. So, but, you know, if we forget the past, sometimes we're bound to repeat it. You know, history, you know, a lot of folks have said that. So we need to remember the past as far as it's going to help us to move us forward into the future.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's something that's going to be crippling us, like unforgiveness or something like that, then we don't want to go back there. We want to say, okay, this is a new phase of my life. And we start cognitively, we start thinking and saying to ourselves, as we talk about, you know, a thing called self-talk in psychology, where you tell yourself, okay, this has happened to me. I went through a divorce, or my church was in upheaval, but now things have settled, and or things that have gone with my children, and now they're going on with their lives. Someone told me this week, my son was, you know, hooked on drugs, and it was so depressing, but now he's got an apartment, and he's going on with his life, and he's doing so well. And the tendency is to say, you know, wow, instead of focusing on, wow, look at where God has brought him, you know, from, to say, okay, look back on what has happened, but now look at where he is. Sometimes she says, I have a tendency to go back and look at, wow, what she's been through and kind of lick her wounds. And so we talked about the whole thing of moving forward and knowing that, okay, that was the past is in the past, and now we have to look forward to the exciting things that God has in store yet, because we're going to learn from that situation, whatever it is, if it's a divorce, if it's a tragedy, whatever mistakes we've made in the past or whatever the enemy uses to accuse us. We have let go of that, and the one thing we can do is start telling ourselves, it's called self-talk. We say, okay, I have made this mistake, I have done this thing that I don't ever want to repeat. And now the Lord has forgiven me. It could be, you know, something that I've done that I think I could never be forgiven. I have forgiven myself. And now I'm turning on to the next phase of my life. Forgive yourself. Very important. And then the fact of the next phase is looking towards it with excitement. This is now what I'm going to be facing. I'm not going to go back into that repeating that thing that I did. I'm going to change my behavior, and my behavior starts with starting to think positively. I'm going to think in a positive way, that this too, as my mother said, this too will pass, and so now I have to pressing towards the things that are ahead. The scripture says, I want to press towards the things that are ahead, and the things that are what God, because God wants the best for me, and I have to tell myself, even though I've made mistakes, even though I've gone through a crisis, even though I've, you know, whatever you're faced in your life, even though you have had a rough ministry, maybe a pastor's wife who has gone through, a pastor has gone through a terrible experience with leaving a church and now starting a new church, and the fear is still there, but the letting go of that and saying, okay, now this is a new page, new chapter in my life, and so I'm going to move forward with the power of the Holy Spirit to help me, and I will not let the past hold me hostage. And so
move ahead...
pressing ahead with the strength of the Lord.
Yes. That is one of the reasons that I used. Yeah, that was one of the reasons that I used in our the tags that I add even online for people to be able to see. I am not my past. And again, I rise. The key, one of the things you just said there, not living in that, again, going back to the scripture, yea, I walk through the valley and the shadow of death. They didn't say go sit, get a party hat, and invite people, and you know, decorate the issue. But the key is, like you said, to the repentance, the forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And forgiveness is not easy, you know, because, again, those things come to haunt you. I'm going to go ahead and let Lady Kathy, I heard you getting ready to say something. Go ahead. I'm going to let you do that before I go on.
I was saying that forgiving yourself is key.
Mm.
If you don't forgive yourself and you don't forgive others, but especially yourself, you can't move forward because you'll always be blaming yourself. And even if it wasn't your responsibility to do so, you'd still be blaming yourself. Recently, as you know, Susie, we've had a series of unfortunate tragedies in our family. And, and one of the things that I've noticed, because I've been primarily my sister's caretaker during this time of there was domestic violence, and one thing I hear her keep saying is making reference to, because even though, and she's the first lady, even though the situation was dire and bad, and it ended up with her husband being jailed, she
incarcerated.
Kept making incarcerated. My sister's very ill. She has MS, so she has a host of ailments. However, he was her primary caretaker, and I'm sure, Lady Hilton, you can attest to this for sure.
Yes.
And even though the situation is bad, they think that's all they have, so they kind of stay in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
right.
So I keep hearing her making reference to, well, you know, if he was here, I wouldn't have to be worrying about a ride, or I wouldn't have to ask somebody to help me get up. You know what I mean? And so
right.
I hear this from victims all the time because they become dependent on their abuser. And so even though sad, they're apt to repeat that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they forgive themselves, look forward and not look back, get excited about the future, as you were saying, and realize that this too will pass.
Yeah.
Right.
There was a saying that I heard a while back, and I don't remember. I think, Lady Kathy, you and I watched a show or something. But the woman said on there, you know, although my situation is crazy, I at least know I know the crazy that's there.
So she's being
familiar with that craziness.
I know this kind of
they
crazy.
Know
yeah.
that when the temperature starts to rise, that what's going to happen, so they already prostrate themselves and prepare for it. And they allow the abuse to go on. And then they know that it's over until the next time. But there's a period in there. I don't even, and I can't comprehend that, of with that abuse being, I mean, I can't comprehend. I can't. But that doesn't mean, because, again, and with your sister, you're trying to pull her out, but really she's tiring you. Because you see how much better and how much, you know, how much better it'll be, her lifestyle would be, her health would be. But not wanting really to take her own responsibility, she'd rather go back into the craziness because she knows that at least she's got a ride. And I think it was the first lady show we saw that, yes. Remember the lady said on there, they said, why are you taking this abuse?
Yeah.
And she said, well, I don't want to give up my parking space or my hat or people recognize
it.
That's special.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have you speak to that, Judith, in just a second. I see we have two callers. I'm going to go ahead and just pull everybody in, and that way we can kind of dialogue. I have caller 513-571-6193. Who am I speaking with? Okay, I think that caller wants to just listen. I'll come back to you in a moment. And then I have caller 702-286-5853. Good morning, caller. Who are you?
Dr. Paula McDonald.
Hi, good morning, Paula.
Good morning,
we're speaking
Paula.
Today, and thank you, Dr. Paula, yes. We're talking today about straightening my tiara. I'm not my past. The things that you've been through may have been hard, but coming out on the other side, those type of things that we're talking about today. But, Lady Judith, I'm gonna let you go ahead and respond to what we were saying, and that was the one portion of the first lady that said she would continue to let her husband have affairs. She would continue to let him hit her, and it, you know, she, because she knew the crazy that she was living with and how that process She knew when it was going to be. She could tell when the heat was rising. She knew how long it was going to last because he never went over a certain period of time. That's weird. And she didn't want to lose her title as first lady. She didn't want to lose her parking space. I don't get it. And she didn't want to lose. She liked wearing her hat. I don't understand it, but we'll have you speak to that, Lady Judith.
Well, the first thing is that I would say if I was talking with that pastor's wife is that there's a serious problem of identity. She found her identity in the position that her husband has, and she has not, for some reason, recognized that she's just as vital, just as important, and she's kind of piggybacking on what her husband, you know, is titled.
Right.
And also getting recognition of First Lady because being married to him, even though he's not fulfilling what the scripture says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church.
Right.
If he's loving his wife as Christ loved the church, he wouldn't be abusing her in that way and having affairs. So I'm really, my heart really goes out to that pastor's wife. And
yes,
that would have been very, very difficult for, and I think she definitely needs to get some help finding herself again, because if she is saying she doesn't want to give up a parking space or a title as first lady,
yeah,
it means that she's not very self-differentiated. She doesn't really know who she is, and so she definitely needs to see someone, a therapist or someone, to help find out who she is. And then also the fact of abuse, he's physically hitting her or verbally abusing her.
Yes.
That's more reason why she needs to be away from that situation. Because no matter how you and most times people do that because of the children. They don't want to leave because of the children. But if that is something that's continuing, that she is going to stay with him and continue in that kind of environment, I would say that's not very healthy. And I don't see how that church, if that church was ever aware that this was happening to her, that they could support a pastor who is abusing his wife. And that just doesn't make much sense to me. So I would say that if you're in a situation, if anyone listening is in a situation like that, that is not God. God doesn't approve of that. God does not sanction that. And that person needs to get help and need to get help soon, very soon.
Yes.
Because it's going to continue, and the cycle is going to continue. And then for the children, they are not going to be in a place where they are safe, and they're going to think that's the norm. And after a while, they accept it, but it's going to affect them long term. So if they're thinking, she's thinking about the children too, she or he, they're going to go ahead and do whatever they need to do to make sure it's a safe place for the children. So it really breaks my heart when I hear something like this. But I'm sure it happens all over the world. This is something that happens. But if you are in a situation like that, I could never encourage a woman who I counsel with to say, you know, it's okay to stay in that environment. You need to get help, I would say. You need to get help, meaning that you need to find some therapy session or some group support. She needs to be in a group session where she has people who can come alongside her and support her. And that man has to be stopped. There's no way he can continue to abuse her and think it's okay and I can go to church and preach like Paul and at the same time treating my wife like, you know, in such a way, such a terrible, terrible manner. So there has to be some discipline that's done for that pastor. The leadership should be aware, and somehow the leadership needs to know that this is happening. So I would advise that lady or that woman, pastor's wife, to seriously get help, and soon.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? It doesn't happen overnight, I think, because, of course, they don't come in. They come in like a knight in shining armor. You know, they don't come in showing the dark side. And oftentimes it doesn't, you know, they don't begin that way. Over a period of time, they may just evolve into this. I believe it's probably in them somewhere the whole time, but as they grow in the ministry and as they grow in the people patting them on the back and putting them on pedestals, sometimes they become pompous and, you know, not consciously but subconsciously, still they're superior or they're God. And it's up to them, though, as men and women of God, because men also get abused, to focus and concentrate on the word of God, and if God doesn't say it, then you don't do it. But I believe that they just get they get beat down little by little, and usually it starts verbally. It doesn't start physically.
Yes.
I'm not the specialist here, but usually it starts. But I've lived it because my mother was a first lady and my father was a pastor, and there was so much abuse and fighting and shooting and cutting in my home until he would think I was in the street, and then he would go to church and preach the walls down. So I grew up with my sister in the same situation, and I was taking her. We were leaving court one day, and she just held her head and started screaming. I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Oh my God, I have become my mother." I said, "I would never let this happen."
Oh.
You know. And so I, you know, my heart just went out for her. But I told her, I said, "You have to get past it. You have to heal yourself." The one thing I've constantly told her is that you need to go talk to somebody because of the way we grew up. As you were saying, the children will repeat that. They will feel like that is normal behavior in a home. And I did whatever I had to do to get free, to get delivered, to seek counseling. And I, you know, I went and talked to people, but my sister didn't. She kept everything on the inside. And so now she's reliving her past. And I told her, I said, "I've been telling you for years, you have to go and talk to somebody or else you will relive the past." And in every area, she has relived her every area. And you guys know how we grew up. In every area, she has relived her past. And now she's bringing herself down. But if you don't get healed and you don't get delivered and set free, according to the Bible, you will relive that. And now her children have to suffer and endure what she suffered and endured because her husband was also inappropriate with one of the children. So, I mean, it's just, it's a sad situation. And this month is Domestic Violence Month. The whole month of October is Domestic Violence Month. I have an older sister who was a victim of domestic violence who was killed by her boyfriend. So this month is especially special to me. And seeing my sister go through this, but you got to give it to God. You can't carry this. We can't coddle the behavior. We can't allow it. The first time it happens, it needs to be addressed. I personally, you need to leave, you know, because I know how it can end. Like I said, my sister was a victim of this, and she's no longer here. But if we don't get the help that we need, and if we don't get the support that we need, my sister, I am not so sure that she will not go back into this relationship if I don't, you know, intervene, because it's convenient and it's familiar.
Right. And the other thing is, like we said a minute ago, I am not my past, you know, and a lot of people have not gotten past that. I have another caller. I'm going to see if they want to come in as well. But we, while we're waiting for the caller, Dr. Paula, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Well, what I would like to kind of chime in on is some of the variables that go with being in domestic violence relationships or situations. Number one, it's not just gender specific. It's male and female. The other thing is there are a lot of people who talk about how to get out of a domestic situation or talk about just leave. But they don't understand it's more than just a level of convenience. It's more than just a level of familiarity. It's a copulation of things. I speak from a personal perspective. Sometimes it gets to the point that you can start out minimizing and rationalizing. The ends justify the means. It, you know, at least you get, I think one of the biggest indicators for me, and this was several years ago when I was way younger, is that God showed me in the latter part of my life, when you start using the term at least in any situation, that means you are minimizing and marginalizing yourself and who God wants you to be and who he has designed you to be. That being said, I remember when I was younger in this relationship, in this marriage, I would say, well, at least. And you know what's so sad? People teach you the at least. Well, honey, at least he takes care of you. Well, honey, at least you're home. And at least you don't this. And at least you don't that. But they're not on the other end of that situation. Although, so it's not that you're thinking about the money. in some cases, it is that you're thinking about the at least. At least I know this
right.
only happened every 6 months. And then
mm-hmm.
people would reiterate, well, he's not going to kill you, but you don't know that. But you're not thinking about that. You're so, the enemy has you so preoccupied on the at least. So
yeah.
there are, and then I took it to one point, I first started in the field of therapy and counseling. I was so excited. The Bible speaks of a zeal, but not as unto wisdom. I was so excited. I had all this, went to a workshop, been to college. Oh, I was ready. So I did this class on coming out of a life of crime, and I had a class of several prostitutes, working girls. Well, the class went so very well, one of the prostitutes went home and told her pimp she was leaving, thanks to me, leaving my great class. He beat the brakes off of her.
Oh, my.
She still came back to class. But
mm-hmm.
my point is this. I had a great idea, but I didn't know
mm-hmm.
enough to tell her about having a plan. There are
right.
some, so it goes back to knowing where are your limitations. So when you, maybe God just called you to be an encourager and say, sister, you can get out of there. I've been there, done that. But maybe you got out a different kind of way. She needs to go get professional help so they can talk to her about the ways to make a plan, safe escape. And even then,
exactly.
sometimes things go wrong. The other thing is, I look at getting out of a domestic relationship or an abusive relationship, or even on a job. Because that carries over to jobs, too. They say you train people how to
exactly.
treat
exactly.
Most
exactly.
people who have adapted to abuse and are neglect, they allow that on various levels in their life. They're
yeah.
the rescuers. They're the healers. They want to be all things to all people. It's not that they're people pleasers. It's that they're care.
Mm-hmm.
Even after a person gets out of that relationship, I see it just like how the church does deliverance. Some people think when a person comes and gives their life to Christ, and say, Lord, I repent of my sins. I give him my life. So he gets salvation. Salvation is a gift. But the walk of deliverance is a process. And it takes time
right.
to happen. So even after a person gets out of the relationship, they got to deal with the residue and how to walk that thing out. And that's where different ones of us come in place. My other concern is by also working in ministry behind the scenes, it's a lot of times, You go to leadership, it's not going to matter because they're going to tell you to stay in it, or they're just as guilty as the person who's doing it to the victim.
So,
true.
So
right.
it's almost like a dichotomy. So and a lot of times people go away from the church to get help because they're embarrassed. When you
right.
look at the numbers of women and men in ministry that have been abused, you look at people in authority being abused. Look at all the entertainers recently coming forward. I remember the young girl... Aretha Franklin would get on stage. Tina Turner would get on stage with the brakes just got beat off of them. What's her name? Sonny and Cher. Gladys Knight. I mean, and then you got the new singers, the hip hop talking about they went through the same thing. That's a generational curse. But we got to learn to balance professional therapeutic assistance and counseling and support groups along with ministry. But the ministry got to stop dressing up with a hat and a suit. And they don't all wear studs no more. They wear whatever new kind of shoes preachers wear. It's not about the look. It's what's in your heart and what you're sharing. And I think ministries need to be more transparent.
But let me interject.
I think you have everything,
yeah.
but they need to be more honest. Because I know a lot of people be playing it off. Well, we've been married 99 years. I don't care if you've been married 50. If it's an abusive relationship, if it's a facade, it's a lie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me interject mm-hmm. here. You know, the mm-hmm. other thing is, too, like you said, one thing you said that was real important, and Judith, I'd like for you to speak to that. I'm going to see if this other caller wants to come in as well. The thing is, too, one thing that you just said, it can be, and just everybody knows, we're talking about straightening your tiara or straightening your crown, the man even, because we're not abusing men, we're not bashing men. What we're saying is, ladies, gentlemen, can you please pull it together? I mean, we already know what the issues are. And the reason we discuss it is because to every problem, there is a solution. And without mm-hmm. dialoguing on it, we cannot get it get a healing. Hold on one moment. I'm going to see who this other caller is. Caller 513-571-6193, who's calling? Okay, they must want to just listen. That's fine. I'm going to have let you go ahead and speak to this. We're right now into, well, we got about another minute left in the show. So, Dr. Judith, I'd like, you to speak to what was just discussed just then, and on a male and female, but right now we're talking to the women. But also there is a crown that needs to be straightened, and we need to speak to the masses, not just one. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I would agree with, I would say just about everything that Paula has said, and that's the truth. We don't have much more time to go into what kind of advice to give to people who are going through this. But I can tell you that it's true that, yes, people don't have a safe place. And as a therapist, mm-hmm. I know that there have been people who have come to me with abuse situation, and we have to find a strategy to help them to find a safe place. And they've been able to find a safe place and not continue in that kind of cycle, because the cycle will continue to stay in it. But we know mm-hmm. that when sometimes when women leave, the husbands come after them and hurt them and sometimes even kill them. So, you know, that's the fear. And there's a lot more we could talk about. This is a very, very serious topic, ladies. I know you know a lot of information about this and probably could, you know, confirm a lot of things that I've found in my studies and also just in hearing these horrible stories. But the hope today is that we as women need to come alongside other women. And sometimes other women don't have a safe place to share their past or their present, the rough times that they've had. And if we can be a community of believers and sisters in the Lord, pastors' wives,
absolutely.
Get together with other pastors' wives, so you can have a safe place where you can share your heart and pray together and build each other up. And I've been able to, you know, get ministers' wives together and talk about issues. And I'm telling you, it makes a difference. So I would say that if we can do that, that's really going to help. That's half the battle when we have a supportive sisterhood, a group of women who can get together and support us and encourage us through our difficult times. So I know the time does not allow me to go into a lot more. But I think this is an issue, very important issue, ladies, that I'm sure we could spend a lot more time talking about, because it's really,
and I think we should
really
extend
urgent.
It.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
and because this is Domestic Violence Month, they only address it, they put a light on it for 1 month. We can continue this, as a matter of fact, on our next show. That's what we're going to talk about. And again, it's the male and the female that are going through it. We're addressing the female right now. But be aware that we know what is going on, because I have gentlemen that are actually chatting with me now. We're at the end of our show. Mm-hmm. And again, we're here every Monday and Friday, 10 a.m. to 10:30. There is a place that you can come. It's called Hands of Comfort. It's a nonprofit that deals with anything that is traumatic to you, even this type of situation. It doesn't cost you nothing. So why not come and get the assistance that you need? The main thing being, we're here for you. We desire to be an assistance to you. The number being 702-683-6373. Again, that number 702-683-6373. And we also have ministry. Lady Kathy, would you give them the phone number, since we've run out of time, for Destined for Glory Ministries as well?
Yes, that phone number is area code 702-364-5679. You can give us a call at Destined for Glory to get more information on our services, as well as I have been asked to speak on October 25th, actually, the keynote speaker for a domestic violence service. So we can call and get more information on that.
And we also have a group that's going to be, Hands of Comfort has our group this coming week on Thursday. It's always the third Thursday of every month. And it starts from 7 p.m. and we go till we can get you what you need. The key to that is that we are available to you, as I said, and I still have the line open so that if anyone, the chat that's there, just so you know, we are here for you, and we desire to be an assistance to you. I will actually put it on the website, the address. It's on Sahara right now, across from Sammy's on Sahara. Call and at the 702-683-6373, and we'll actually give you the information and what time to meet with us. Again, this is First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. I am so excited that we have this time together. Remember, ladies, actually, tilt that tiara, straighten it up. You are God's best work. The I am says that you are, and that's God. And also, gentlemen, the same thing. Straighten that crown. The I am says that you are as well. Again, this is First Ladies Blog Talk every Monday and Friday, 10 a.m. to 10:30. Join us. Have an amazing day. I want to thank my callers. You're amazing women, and I tell you, we are the beginning. Am I my sister's keeper? Oh, yes. I am.
Yes,
have a great day, and I thank you so much. Thank you, Judith. See you next time.
Enjoy the remainder of your trip.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dr. Judith. Bye-bye.